You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus Christ, your forgiveness is fantastic. You take our bodies and souls, such as they are, and one day you will transform our bodies in the likeness of your glorious body. You give us life today. Help us to live by faith in you and have inheritance with all who ever believed in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Dr. Robert J. Lipton, the eminent psychologist of Yale University, has said, "Death is the most important question of our time." It's about time somebody besides a preacher recognized that fact and called a spade a spade. Last spring, a course was offered at New York University on the meaning of death. 250 students enrolled, and dozens more were turned away. The January 14, 1972 issue of Life magazine carried an article entitled, "When Do We Have the Right to Die?" Every day, more than 5,000 Americans die. And I don't know how many people in other parts of the world are dying every day. The entire November 1971 issue of Pastoral Psychology is devoted to the subject of death. Our whole culture today is death-oriented. The whole world stands under the curse of death. Often terrible, destructive, violent death. A few years ago, we were more conscious of the fact of death than we are today. But it's still true. Today, death could rain down upon the whole world from satellites floating around through space. It seems impossible, but it's true. Wars are still going on, and people are still being killed. Children watching television 10, 15, or 20 hours a week see one murder enacted every 30 minutes. It's the stuff of which television is made. There has got to be action. And what action is more dramatic than murder? Our whole culture is death-oriented. If people aren't describing and picturing death, they are trying to get away from it. So frantic are people to get away from the whole idea of death that they won't even talk about it. It's just too terrible to talk about. It's the end of everything. And that's just about the worst thing that could happen to anyone. Therefore, act as if it's not going to happen. Pretend it doesn't exist. When people do that, they make death the most important fact in all of life. It's the most important question of our time. I don't think St. Paul would have disagreed with that. He was talking about the difficulties he was experiencing, offering the imminent prospect of death. An interesting thing about this man is that death did not bother him. "I continue to be happy," he said to the Philippians. "My deep desire and hope is that I shall never fail my duty, but that at all times, and especially right now, I shall be full of courage, and that with my whole self I shall bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." Then he went on to say something which is so remarkable that it is either past belief or it changes all of life. He said, for me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. What in the world does that mean? In the case of this man, it meant that Christ is everything. Jesus Christ, the man who died and rose again from the dead, is everything. He makes life worth living and death worth dying. When Christ is in the picture, if I understand St. Paul correctly, death is even more worthwhile than life. What is life? Why, it's Christ. If that's true, death will bring something even better. That's Christ, too. That's what the man is saying. I know that sounds strange to a lot of people these days. They have put all their beans in one basket, which is filled with things, material things you can buy or make or acquire. If that's all there is to life, what St. Paul says is not only strange, it's a cruel joke perpetrated on all of mankind. If things are everything, if that's life, death is nothing. It's worse than nothing. It is death, the destruction of everything. If you've never thought about it before, it just might have occurred to you by this time that life at its greatest is not just things. Things can make people happy for a day or two, or a week or two. But then it's got to be something else. Life based on the acquisition and possession of things has to be terribly dull, awfully bleak, mighty dreary. Life with just things is empty. That's what. When life is empty, what is it empty of? If things can't fill up the void, what can? Will living it up do the trick? Maybe eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live life to the hilt. Do just as you please. Satisfy the human cravings that are in us. A powerful political figure, the writer of Ecclesiastes, a long time ago, said that he had tried that. He tried everything. Obviously, he was a man of parts, with a good deal in his control. He could try wealth. He could lord it over other people. He could have as many women as he wanted. He could have everything. That's what he said. He had tried it all and wound up with this conclusion. Life is futile, he said. It is vain. It is all futility and vanity. Do you know why? Because there's always death waiting at the end of the road. That spoils everything. I read a sign somewhere. Life is fragile. Handle with care. It certainly is fragile, and it must be handled with care. No matter how strong your body may be, how healthy, how well-conditioned or athletic you may be, every time you take a ride in a car, death rides at your side. Get in your car in a closed garage, turn on the motor for several minutes, and you won't be alive anymore. Death is just a breath away. Does that scare you? If it does, I don't blame you. Death is not a pleasant subject. I don't enjoy talking about it. I've seen other people die and children die. It's never pleasant. Death is a solemn commentary upon our humanity, upon what we are or have failed to be. It tells us something about ourselves, and that's not pleasant. It could have been otherwise, but it isn't. We could have lived forever. But we don't. It's not somebody else's fault. It's ours. All of us are human. And I guess you could say that death comes naturally to us all. At the same time, it is unnatural. We see at the funeral of a child or of a teenager, and sometimes even at the funeral of an adult who has died in the prime of life, there's a feeling of revulsion that is akin to anger. People get angry. Some of them are angry against God. And others are just angry. I don't blame them for feeling angry. There is an enemy around. That enemy, the Bible calls death. It calls death the last enemy. You can go stick your head in the sand, as Louis XV did when he was King of France. He commanded that death was never to be spoken of in his presence. Nothing could be mentioned or displayed that would be a reminder of death. Thomas Carlyle said of the king, "It is the resource of the ostrich, who, hard-hunted, sticks his foolish head in the ground and would fain forget that his foolish body is not unseen, too." That's a rather complicated way of saying that the king was a nut. Robert Ingersoll, a 19th century American lawyer, politician, and writer, was a controversial figure in his time because of his outspoken skepticism regarding faith of any kind. When he died in 1899, the printed notice of his funeral said, "There will be no singing." And I want to tell you something, there wasn't any. Some of the most moving singing I have ever heard has been at funeral services by people who had something that enables a man to take death, to take it in stride. It wasn't mournful singing, nor was it sentimental. It was good, strong stuff, like, "Wake, awake, for night is flying, the watchmen on the heights are crying." Or a great hymn like the one written by William W. Howe, "For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. At the center of that song is Jesus Christ. He's there, alive and well, having risen from the dead himself. He knows all about death. You don't have to tell him about that. He knows what causes death, too. He took that into his own heart. All the sin of the world, all of the rebellion against God, all of the stupidity of humanity, that he took into his own heart on that day when he died on a cross. He tasted death himself, that through death he might break the power of him who had death at his command, that is, the devil, that he might liberate those who, through fear of death, had all their lifetime been in servitude. When you've got somebody like that going for you, you can talk the way Paul did. "Living," he said, "is Christ for me. Dying is gain. I'll take life by faith in him. And I'll take death, too, by faith in him." Sitting in prison as he was, not knowing what was going to happen, Paul wrote to these great people at Philippi, "I know that through your prayers and with the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it's my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." We talk about losing someone who has died. St. Paul didn't think of death as losing. It was gain. It's better, he said. How on earth can anybody look at death that way? Only when he's got something. Someone to change death from loss into gain. As Peter Marshall said in one of his prayers, it's not the duration, but the donation of life that counts. It's not so important how long you live, but how you live, what you are, what you do. Nobody's going to get to the point where he looks upon death without fear, simply as a result of what he wants himself to be and what he decides to do. People have tried that. It doesn't work. At the end of that game, they lose anyway. Death has got a sting, and nothing we are or do will take the sting out of that. It should be apparent to almost everyone by this time. People have tried all of that and have lost anyway. With Jesus Christ, death gets to be gain. When a man is in Jesus Christ, he goes right from life to death and through death to life without loss. In fact, St. Paul said, death turns out to be better. How does that happen? Not by talking well about yourself or even by talking well about others. We can do without eulogies at funerals. Whatever good a man has done in his lifetime, it is usually exaggerated at funerals. Nothing bad about the dead. That's what people say at funerals. The good doesn't amount to so much, even when it is exaggerated. If a man could talk, probably that's what he would tell you. Unless, of course, he's one of those stupid fellows who was depending only upon himself all through his life, and now he's lost once and for all. In Jesus Christ, dying becomes gain because he triumphed over death. He takes people along with him through death to life. There's no loss there, only gain. When you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life right here and now.
dying in Christ is to go from eternal life to the fulfillment of that life you already have in him. This is eternal life, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Now that's life, the kind of life he had, and the kind of life he gives. A very good friend, Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had died. Jesus went to the grave and wept with these friends over the loss they had sustained. It's human. Then lifting up his eyes and giving thanks to his Father, he called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out with his grave clothes still around him. They took that stuff off, and Jesus restored their brother to these two girls. What he had done was to make good his promise, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Dying is gain when you have Jesus Christ, when you go with him. He is Lord over life and over death. He's the conqueror of death. The sting of death has been drawn, and death is transformed into something else for people who know Jesus Christ. Dying is not all there is to life, not when you have Jesus Christ. People often forget the first part of what St. Paul said. Living, he said, is Christ. Dying is gain. You don't live just to die, not when you have Jesus Christ. You live, for Christ means living. Jesus Christ is joy. Jesus Christ is peace. Jesus Christ is forgiveness. Jesus Christ is assurance. He's everything. His forgiveness is fantastic. He knows how to forgive. And his forgiveness is for you. If it takes forgiveness 70 times, seven times, he'll go beyond that. The power of Jesus Christ is immense. There's nothing he can't do for you. There's nothing you can't do with him. "I can do everything," said St. Paul, "through Christ who strengthens me." There's no limit to your possibilities when you have Jesus Christ. St. Paul said, "Jesus Christ can take our bodies, such as they are, and transform them so that they will be in the likeness of his glorious body." He can do anything. He's doing it all the time. He takes people who have no future and gives them faith and love which they never had before. They become people again, able to live. They don't have to battle every day against death. They just live every day by faith in him, with love toward God and toward their fellow men. They're people again. "For me to live is Christ," said St. Paul. That's living. You can live like that when dying is gain, when you're looking forward to something even better after death. Then you can live. It's not just a dream. It's all in Jesus Christ, and he's not a dream. He's for real. As the people in that little Samaritan town said when they had seen him and talked with him, "You are the Son of God and the Savior of the world." So he is. In Christ, my friend, you can't lose. You can only gain. I'm not telling you something I don't know myself. That's the way I live. That's the way St. Paul lived. He said, "Whether we live, we are the Lord's. And whether we die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we are the Lord's." If that's so, what difference does it really make whether the time is long or short? Does it make any difference to have Christ and to follow him? It makes all the difference in the world. If death is the most important question in the world, as that psychiatrist said, Christ makes all the difference in the world. Living is Christ. I found that out to be true. I'm on the way to finding out the other to be true, too. Dying is gain. You have to find that out, my friend, for yourself. And you find it out in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.